Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Friday morning's edition as we close out this week and prepare for the weekend. And I pray that most of you, all if not all of you, have a home church that you can go to. So I highly recommend that you get in that church and and get with your pastors and find out, you know, what role can you play to help the ministry that God has called them to, the assignment or the vision that God has called them to, and what role do you play that you can help them to be fruitful. And so, because that's always good, especially for pastors, you know. being a pastor myself with the call of an apostle, but I know how important it is to have the support and to know that you got people willing to step up to the plate and do things that, you know, you don't need to do, but that they can do. Amen. So this morning, as we close out this morning, Friday morning session, we're going to continue to deal with the subject about the renewed mind. Excuse me. We said that if we're going to enjoy the fruits, the privileges by faith, of the kingdom of God, that the laws that that we live by, then we're going to have a renewed mindset, okay? When your mind is renewed with the word of God, then nothing is impossible to you. Let me say that to you again. When your mind is renewed with the word of God, then nothing shall be impossible to you that believe. And the reason is because the mind is renewed. When we say renewed, one word for renewed is to renovate. Okay, so what are you doing? To renovate sometimes means you have to tear down some things, uproot some things, throw out some things. In the natural, just think about renovation. Some things you have to pull up, some things you have to get rid of because there have been changes to what you had at one time. So some things need to be updated. Some things is not even in existence any longer. So you have to make them compatible to what you're doing today. Well, your mind is not compatible to the things of the kingdom because it was conceived through the old identity of the first Adam. And that nature, you know, and that's for the fallen nature, and it came through Satan himself. And so, though our nature has been changed, the renewing of the mind has not been changed. Now, the price for the victory of a changed mindset has been paid. But to enjoy the fruit as our born-again spirit has not been totally changed. You have to work at it. Now, it belongs to you, but you have to work at it. And so this is what we're doing here. We're sharing with you along these lines about teaching you to renovate. To renovate, also, we're talking about renewing the mind, which is made to renovate. Again, some things you have to uproot. Think about what it is that you have to uproot. We've been talking about the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And the reason that is because of your own tradition. It is stated in Matthew 5, also in Mark 7:13, that the only way that the word of God will be of no effect, it will be because of our tradition. Our tradition can hold us back from receiving God's best. And so when the mind is renewed with the word of God, when you demolish, when you uproot, when you pull down barriers, strongholds, things that wants to contain you to the limitations of through the philosophy or the view or the way you have viewed life ever since you were able to understand. And those values, those views will hold us all as a hostage in our mind because we were taught them, because we were raised with them. It puts us in a place to say, I'm happy who I am. I'm happy what I, you know, or how I think. And as long as you are happy at where you are and what you, you know, and how you think and how you live life, then that means you're not open for the Holy Spirit to bring you to a higher plane of way of living. Not that you're living a grossly life, you know, out of sync with the kingdom of God, but you and I never get to the place where we have arrived. Why? Because you have the nature of God, and your mind and my mind is limited. Because again, in order for us to move forward with God, sometimes God has to wait on us to do what? To renew our mind so that we can catch up in what his plan that he had, that he actually has for us. And so one verse of scripture here, I want to show you how, you know, I'm a good at Romans chapter 12, but one verse of scripture I want to show you before I do that is in Mark chapter 4. This verse have always intrigued me, verse 24 of Mark 4, and this is dealing with the parables. Jesus talked about the four basic type of people of how they receive. And we all, and each ground of everyone's heart hears the word. Okay? But all only one came out with the result. And based upon that ground of that of each of those hearts, some got 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold, meaning, you know, it is to the virtue of knowledge that you have, meaning the study that you give to the truth you hear will be the reward of your time of study. And so here in Mark chapter 4, Jesus was speaking here that he said, if any man have ears to hear, let him be listening. You see that? Well, why? Because we're talking about the kingdom of God. And it's going to really go against your theology. It's going to go against your religion. It's going to go against your tradition. And again, as I give many examples in this, especially a lot about healing, about finances, and et cetera, where we'll think that our retirement, our Social Security, you know, we have to live on it. And so therefore we'll, you know, and that's what brings fear to most people who are in retirement. Because if something happened beyond your Social Security or beyond your retirement, we don't know what we'll do. And I want us to break out of that and recognize that the kingdom of God is not to the place where I say, well, you're in retirement, you're in your latter years, and so we're gonna, you know, you don't need much to live. No. No. Remember, until you renew your mind with the promise of what God has for you, then you will never be able to see. And that's why this scripture says, if any man has ears to hear, let him be listening. And let him perceive and comprehend. Can you see that? Perceive and comprehend. So that means my perception has to change. If I'm going to enjoy the fruits, the privileges that the kingdom of God has put before me. Or you understand what I'm saying? Now, you understand why, you know, to some of you, I'm just a teacher, okay? Some of you, I might be a pastor. But this is the reason why you have to have a local body so that the laws of the kingdom can be taught. That's what they're taught. They're taught in a facility. We call it the church, but we know we're the church body, but the church itself is a building, a place that's set aside that we come for learning. I can just call my church a school. It's a place of learning. And so once we leave the place of learning, then we're able to go out and execute the laws of the kingdom. In other words, we're able to execute in the marketplaces, wherever you work, whatever you do, you know, your voice, your demeanor is a witness for the kingdom of God. And so that's why you really need a local body. So if you're really not part of a local body, a local church, then it would be hard for you to grow in the kingdom, in the things of the kingdom of God. Because now you don't have to be in a local church to have to be born of the kingdom, but you need to be in a local church so that the laws of the kingdom that you've been birthed into, you can learn how to grow. The laws of the kingdom is not for your spirit. The laws of the kingdom is for your renewed mind, because that's where you're going to have to be able to listen. You see, that's why Jesus said, if any man has ears to hear, let him or her be listening. Listening to what? You have to have a place that you can sit. Thank God we got Facebook. You know, I don't care how much you may disagree with Mark Zuckerberg and et cetera, his behavior, but that's a God idea that he gave to him, that I'm sitting here this morning teaching you, and I could this feed could be all over the globe at one time. And so, you know, I pray for Mark Zuckerberg. I pray for the people that he have. They may not be doing everything right, but we don't do everything right either. But think about the invention, excuse me, that God has given this young man. And look at the changes that it has made. How many lives have been touched? How many lives have been saved? You know, because of this invention that God gave this person. And so I'm taking the opportunity here to do what? As a teacher, to be a helper to most pastors. You know, I'm not trying to draw no one to our church, but, you know, you're committed to the church that you're in. I want to be able to be a helper to the pastor, your pastor, so that you can understand that why you need to be there to listen to the word that's coming out of their mouth. And why? Because there are things that you're going to learn that you're not going to really just get in this setting that I have right here. This is good, but there's more take place when y'all come together in unity, when y'all come together with fellowship. Amen. And so I know I treasure the people that God has given me, and I'm grateful. I'm so grateful to them. And they show up on Sundays, they show up on Wednesdays, and whatever special event that we have, they show up. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for those of you that God given me that on Facebook. You guys show up all the time listening, you know, to these lessons or whatnot. And I mean, I had a hard time at one time thinking, well, who will come and listen to me every day, 5 days a week, mostly 5 days a week, teach it on the, like this. But as when you do it as unto the Lord, then God began to deal with people's heart. And so here, what are you doing? This is what you're doing now. You're listening. And so verse 24 said, and he said to them, you know, when he said, you know, let him perceive and comprehend. This is what he wants you to see. He said, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Now, those of you, I'm in Mark 4, 23, 24, verse 23 and 24. And this is reading out of the classic Amplified. Notice what he said. He said to them, be careful for what you are hearing. Be careful of what you are hearing. Meaning, be careful who you let speak in your life. I don't care if it's me. If it's not lining up with the word of God, the truth, the promise, especially in this new covenant. The old covenant is great, but you need to get this new covenant down packed on the inside of you so that when you understand the truths of the new covenant, then the Holy Spirit can really help you to see, to conceal a revelation of the same truth that you embrace in the New Testament. But notice he said here, he said to them, be careful what you're hearing. Because remember, the only way the word of God to become of no effect, listen to the word, none, no effect in your life, it is through your tradition or your unbelief. These things are powerful. Your tradition, your religion, well, I said all of our traditions, our religion, they are powerful. Because they've been with you all your life. And when it's time to stand up on the word of God for a particular promise, whether it be healing, whether it be deliverance, whether it be protection, whether it be prosperity, you understand what I'm saying? Whether it be just living in the peace of God, your mind will fight you because your tradition told you in the natural, this is what we do to preserve ourselves. This is what we do to protect ourselves. This is the stand we make to make sure that everything is going to be okay. Well, they were okay at one time because it was all you knew. But when your tradition, your stance of what you accumulated through your years come up against the word of God, that's where you're going to have to make a decision. That's where the renovation, that's where the demolishing, that's where the uprooting going to take place. Because you, me, have to make the decision for change. And if you don't make that decision to change, then you're what I call your imagination. Your imagination will keep painting, will keep print or paint in the same imagery of why you're like you are. Are you following what I'm saying? And so here he said to them, be careful what you are hearing, the measure of thought and study. Well, we lost a great percentage of the body of Christ right there. Because how often do we study the word of God? They said, well, that's for someone like you that's called into the ministry. I'm just a believer. I'm just listening to the word. No, we all have to study, whether I was called into the ministry or not. Before I knew I was called, I studied the word of God. Even now, I studied the word of God, not as a teacher, not as an apostle or prophet of the word. No. I do it as a believer. Why? Because it's the only way that I'm going to be able to withstand the forces, the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that's going to come against my mind. So if it can get in my mind, if it can get in my soul, then it can affect my physical body. It can affect my physical surroundings. Why? Because I've opened the door, which is through my soul, and gave it consent by me. Notice this. Remember I said, use the word imagination. Your imagination is your, it could be your positive impulse or it could be a negative impulse. See, the thoughts you think of can be a positive impulse or a negative impulse to your imagination. Why? Because you are the one that's give the imagery is received through words. If you conceive, and this is what the word imagination means, it means conception. So if you conceive the words that are spoken at you, about you, are on a continual basis, this is why people continually are oppressed. And this is the reason why some go into depression over and over. Why? Because of the conception, first of all, what they heard. So what did Jesus say here? Be careful. He said, let a man, excuse me, if any man has ear to hear, let him be listening. Let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, be careful what you're hearing. In other words, just because ABC, CBS, NBC, and whoever else is speaking something that is contrary to the laws of the kingdom, you're living by the Kingsdale. You're living under the kingship. You're living under the sovereignty of God, the theocracy of who God is. And that means you and I have been excluded from anything that ABC, CBS, NBC, and all the mothers see be said. You are excluded, not included, excluded. Why? Because you don't live by the laws of this land per se. You exceed the laws of this land because you're living by the kingdom. And the laws of the king that governs the kingdom is love. It's love. For God so loved the world that he gave. And that love, the moment we got born again, that love entered into our spirit. And so that love is doing what? It's giving back. That love of God that's shed abroad in our heart through the Holy Ghost is giving back into society. It is changing the fabric of society. Because society is living in, is full of fear. People keep their head down. I mean, you know, we live in Southwest Louisiana. Southwest Louisiana, we are people that just always, I mean, I remember when I first come here, then that's been over about 43 years, you know, people are so friendly when they're driving on the highway. You, because people, they lift their hand up when they pass you by. You know, they're driving, you know, they lift their hands and you know, good morning or good evening. Or they just don't pass. I mean, when we lived in North Carolina for a while, people didn't do that. But we carried that same spirit over there. Everybody would start waving. And people start waving back, you know, because they're not accustomed to that. And now, you know, we have to be careful. Even now here, some people, they just keep their head down because why? They don't want to draw attention. They don't want more of that. But look, when you have that love on the inside of you, you're just, good morning, good morning. I mean, you know why? People looking for those type of aspiration. They looking for that kind of inspiration. Why? Because people are fearful. They're afraid. Not that they don't want to reach out, but they just don't know how. But because you and I live by a different way of thinking, a different way of doing called the kingdom of God, then guess what? You are applying the laws of the kingdom just by saying, good morning, praise the Lord. And I mean, look, sometimes it comes right out before you ever know it. And I'm telling you, it will make a mark on people. It will leave an impression on people because you don't recognize the power of God that's in those people's lives, things that they're dealing with, things that they're up under. And here you say, good morning, praise the Lord. All of a sudden, it released something off of them. It puts something on. It strengthened them. Maybe just say, you know, I need to be bold like that person. You didn't think nothing of him. You say, good morning, praise the Lord. Well, that's what the righteous do. Or we just say, we bless you. God bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a great day. I tell people that all the time. And find out that most of the people I say that to, they are believers. They were happy that someone was speaking in their life like that. Are you understand what I'm saying? And what it did, it put them in a place that they had confidence, that they had assurance that God loved them through you. So that's why Jesus said, he said to them, be careful what you are hearing, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. Notice what it said, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. I want you to hear that again. The measure of thought that you give to the truth you hear. That means if your pastor is teaching the word of God or whoever, you need, it's not just listening, but it's taking what is being said, and then what are you doing? You are applying that. You are taking that. You're studying. You're thinking on that. Are you following what I'm saying? You're shutting things off. Why? Because I got to have this breakthrough. I know healing belongs to me. I got to get understanding, because notice Jesus said here, this is Jesus said, he said, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. Yes, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Yes, God has caused the windows of heaven to pour out blessing that there's not room enough to receive. Yes, he said, blessed is the man who sitteth not in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. But notice what he said. He meditate in that truth day and night. And once you do that, then guess what? You'll be for sure that you will prosper. To meditate means you're not always, it means you're actually thinking. One part of meditation, you're shutting things off. You're thinking. You're muttering. What do you do? You're actually feeding on the truth of the word. Like for some of you, you may have an opportunity to do what? To sit and to think about some of the things that were said. And as you sit and think about what was said, what are you doing? You're thinking about what God is saying to you. You're thinking on what God has been speaking to, and all of a sudden now this word that you hear is enlightening you. It's plowing your field again. It's giving you an expectation again to do what? To start moving in that direction. Because sometimes life can get in the way, and it can cause us to become misguided. What grace is to bring us back. When we hear the word of God about grace, grace is to remind us of what we have, not of ourselves, but what Jesus already done for us. And then notice this, faith is that response to grab hold of it and bring it in so that you can begin to start enjoying the fruits thereof, the privileges that it benefits you. But notice it's not going to happen just because you desire it. There's something else you got to do besides desiring it. You must desire. That's where your hope comes from. That's where you have an image on the inside of you about seeing these things. But notice how these things manifest. Notice how conception is going to take place in the soulish part of you. You have to see it. You have to see yourself victorious in every aspect of your life. You may not be victorious right now. You may not feel victorious in the realm of your finances, in the realm of health, in the realm of your business, whatever it is that concern you, maybe about your children, you may not see that the victory, but guess what? The victory doesn't come because of what you see with your natural eye. The victory comes in how you perceive through comprehension. That comprehension is what? It's God's wisdom that's giving you insight that through his word, you can bank it. You can guarantee it will change. And you can look at the thing in the natural and see no evidence, no fruit of anything changing or walking in the way that you're expecting. But that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to use your emotion, your intellect to throw you off. Well, if they are, if it is mine, if it been prophesied to me or spoken to me, that is mine, where is it? Why don't I have it? You do have it. It's in the realm of the spirit. And that's why it says the thought, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that come back to you. So the responsibility is where? On me. And I know that's a hard pill for most believers to swallow. You tell me, it's my fault? that these things are like this in my life? Is my fault that I don't have? Yes, yeah, it is. I know we don't like to hear that, but to me, that's a good thing for me to know. Because if I can identify, we know it's not God's fault. If I can identify that it's my fault that I'm allowing this to happen, well, guess what? I'm all ears now. I'm all in. Okay, show me what I need to do. If this is my fault, that means I can change this. That means I can rectify this. Show me where it is in the world. Show me how to stand on this. And then you take that as a treasure. And you begin to treasure that word. That when it is a treasure to you, that means you hide that. You put that away. You don't let nothing get close to that. That means when I have an understanding of a truth in God's word, and if I see something on TV or if I hear something out in the marketplace or hanging around somebody, and it goes against the thing that I treasure in my heart, guess what I'm doing? I'm moving away. I'm moving away. Why? Because I treasure that. Why? If I don't do that, then guess what you do? You'll open yourself up to become a victim again. Remember, soul salvation or the renewing of the mind is not a one-time process. You're going to go through this process if you live 60 years in the Lord. Anybody say they've been walking with God for 60 years, well, guess what? They're fruitful, they're productive in their life. They tell you every day I get up, I got to renew my mind. Why? Because the laws of this world, this system, remember, you're going against the laws of your mind that wants to put you back under those traditions, that wants to put you back in that place of unbelief, that wants to bring you back to that place of your religion. Why? Because some things didn't work out right. You prayed about some things. You saw some things in your family that you believe, and it didn't turn. So it will pull you back. And it will put you in a place where you see it's no different than what it's no different right now than what it was then. And that's what the enemy will always be. You know, even though I know this, most of you probably know this, but he's always using the same old strategy. And what happened is that the reason why the enemy keep using the same, because he's on the road to wear us down, to see are our thoughts the same? Are we still meditating on the word? Are we still feeding on these truths? Why? Because that's what the divine energy comes for. That energy have to derive out of your spirit into the soulish part of you to energize you. It's kind of like, you know, taking good supplements for your physical body, that it will affect your immune system, it will affect your brains and et cetera. But when you take it, all of a sudden, you know, what you felt, the sluggishness you felt prior to that, all of a sudden, those nutrients got in there and it stimulated your brain, stimulated your body to get you moving. Well, that's what the word do to the soul, your mind, your will, your emotion, your conscience, your imagination. You understand what I'm saying? It stimulates. Why? Because it's getting you to see what the word says. And it's getting you to connect to the truth of that word so that you can stand on that promise. And I don't care if you live another 50 years on the earth, you'll still be walking in the same victory that you did what 50 years or prior 50 years before. Why? Because you didn't let the truth go. You kept your mind renewed on the word of God. You kept going back, studying those verses. You kept feeding on them. Like it is survival for your life. It's like a survival kit. The word of God is a survival kit. And we know, those of us that are serious about the word, we know we got to feed on this truth every day. Whether it be, you know, for, you know, all of it. You can take it all. Because anything under this new covenant that I'm speaking of, like Jesus said, it's not just for one thing. It's not just for healing. It's not just for prosperity. It's not just for redemption. It's not just for forgiveness. This is for every part of your life. This verse of scripture right here. Again, and I'm going to close with this. I hadn't even got to where I want to go, but it's not important about how much ground I cover. It is paying attention to the leading of the Holy Spirit and stay with something long enough until he's finished, until he tell you to move forward. But notice what he said again in verse 23. If any man has ear to hear, let him be listening. It's a personal pronoun. It's a personal thing. Let him or her be listening. Notice he didn't say just listen. That's good. But be listening means it's a continuation. It's a continual thing. Keep hearing it. Well, I heard it for 50 times. And keep hearing it. Because once it click in, then all of a sudden you're going to know if I want to keep this same vibe, I need to keep feeding on the same food. I mean, just think about it. Some of us have our favorite food. You want, because you like how it tastes, you like how it makes you feel, you like what it does to your body. So what you do, you keep buying the same thing. To do what? To replenish. To nourish your body. Well, that's what the word does. You have to replenish, nourish your soul every day with this word. It doesn't have a way of just retaining a knowledge that whereas you can't, you don't work at bringing it to the forefront. See, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil is going to always be present until we receive that glorified body and a glorified soul. There's not much of anything you have to do for the knowledge of that tree of good and evil to manifest itself, for evil to manifest itself. Because why? It's a part of the old software that, notice it, it will always come back if I don't have that a new law present. That's why Jesus said, to anyone that hear, let them be listening, let them perceive and comprehend. He said to them, be careful what you are listening or hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of the virtue, the measure of virtue and knowledge that come back to you. And more besides, he said, will be given to you who hear. See, who has ears to hear, who comprehend, who has perception. So when we talk about how you hear, or we talk about your perception, or we talk about your heart, we talk about your mind, well, it's a mean of understanding. Let me Matthew, go over here with me. Matthew 22:37. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, before we do that, go to Matthew chapter 15, because I had said something earlier this week, and the Lord want me to go back and hit this. In Matthew 15 and Jesus here is speaking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees were so much concerned about unwashed hand, and this is what Jesus said to them. Notice this. The Bible said in verse 10 of Matthew 15, and Jesus called the people to him and said to them, listen, grasp and comprehend this. Isn't that what we're talking about? Renewing the mind? If you're going to have application. He said, it is not what goes into the mouth of a man that makes him unclean and defiled, but what comes out of the mouth, this make a man unclean and it defiles him. But what comes out, not what goes in, right? Then the disciples came to him and said, do you not know that the Pharisees were displeased That's the religious leaders. And offended and indignant when they heard this saying. Yeah, you have some people, some of your own relatives, your own peers, even people in the ministry that don't comprehend these spiritual truths, they can be offended. So be prepared to understand everyone's not going to take the side that you say. Everyone's not going to stand on these promises that you and I see in this truth, in this word. And notice this. And he answered, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be torn up by the root. See what I'm saying? We have to root up, demolishing, renovation. It requires uprooting, pulling down, destroying. And he says, let them alone and disregard them. They are blind guide teachers. And that's what happened. The Lord doesn't go and try to just correct these people because these people are blinded. They're guided by their own tradition and they don't want to hear. That's the reason why you have different ministry, because a lot of times, now some of these ministry are they're out of hurt. A lot of some churches, they start out of hurt. They start out of from a wounded spirit, which is wrong. Because sooner or later, it's going to come back because you didn't deal with it. It wasn't done properly. And you're going to struggle with it. You're going to struggle within yourself. Now, that's a lesson for leaders. But anyway, notice this. He said, disregard them. And they that are blind, and notice that blind teacher, he said, if a blind man leads a blind man, both falls into a ditch. Now, he's using the connotation that you can understand when he said every plant that my Father, Heavenly Father, it would be plucked up. When you have somebody that's blinded, they have to be what? Led, right? So how can the blind lead the blind? So when you have someone like the enemy using traditional teaching, using religion, using our tradition, whatever that may be, well, guess what? It said blind leaders fall into the ditch. He said, but Peter said to him, explain this proverb to us. And he said, are you also even yet dull and ignorant and without understanding and unable to put things together? Because you see, this is what he's talking about. Now, these disciples were with him. Remember, they didn't have the spiritual ingenuity that you and I have. They had natural knowledge because they saw what Jesus did. They had him with him. But you remember Jesus told James, and I think it's James in John 20, somewhere around verse 24, he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. But you see, James believed, just like the rest of them believed, that the Lord is alive because they saw him. Revelation knowledge is I don't have to see Jesus sitting at the table to know that he's alive. The word itself was before the person itself. The person itself was manifested in the flesh that we will have someone that we can identify that give us this righteousness, that give us the kingdom that we live by to know that it's for us to live by. But here, Jesus is simply saying right here, and Jesus answered, let's see, where am I? No. And he said, are you even yet dull and ignorant and without understanding and unable to put these things together? Do you not see and understand what goes into the mouth, into the abdomen? It so passes through the place where discharges are deposited. Well, we don't need to pray. You understand that, right? He said, but whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. That soulish part of you, that's the part of you that's messed up. That's the part of you and I that have these traditions, that have these strongholds. The purpose of hearing the word is to break down those barriers, is to break down those strongholds, is to take away deception, is to cause those that are wounded. There's so many people in the body of Christ that's wounded right now. You know how the saying, hurt people hurt people? Well, wounded people keep wounded people wounded. Why? Because you need to be made whole before you're able to step out and help someone else. But sometimes we do things out of anger. Sometimes we do things out of spite. And we don't realize you're causing a greater divide in the body of Christ. You're causing greater harm in the church. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? I don't want to. Notice this. He said, do you not see and understand that what goes into the mouth, it passes into the abdomen, and so it passes into the place where discharge or deposit? But whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And this is what makes a man unclean and defiles him. For out of the heart comes what? Evil thoughts. Here we go. See? Reasoning. Disputing. Notice this. And designs such as murder. Notice it. And designs such as murder. I mean, you already took place in your mind, in your heart, in your imagination. Adultery, sexual vice, theft, false witnessing, slander, irrelevant speech. These are what makes a man unclean, defiled. He said, but eating with unwashed hand does not make him unclean or defiled. And it goes on. But my point to you is to do it, and I have to shut off with this. You know, it goes to tell you, until you continue to cleanse your heart, wash your heart, your mind. And you can only do that through the word. So you have what God gave us, an imagination. And when you hear words, you don't see words, you actually see pictures of what the word represent. Taking an example, if I said apple, well, you don't see A-P-P-L-E, you see it now in your mind. But when I say apple, you see a little red apple, maybe a little yellow apple, green apple. But watch, I put us all on the same wavelength, a big red juicy apple. Well, see, you could see that in your mind. Why? Because the words I spoke gave you an image of what a big, red, juicy apple looked like. Are you following what I'm saying here? This is what the word does. The word gives you a picture. It gives you an image. And that's why the enemy wants to keep you and I from studying these truths, listening to it, feeding on it. Because if I can get your water muddled or muddy, where you can't see clearly anymore, where you can't comprehend like you once was through some tradition, through some ideology or whatnot, then the enemy will use that until you can understand and break the cycle of anything that have caused you to be wounded, caused you to be offended. Offense comes to us all, ladies and gentlemen. But it's what you do with that offense. You don't want that offense to turn into a root of bitterness. Because you're wounded by something, then guess what? If you allow that wounded spirit to become a root of bitterness, then you're going to produce a baby called wounded. And if it's wounded, then guess what? It's going to become manipulative. It's going to become controlling. And before you know it, everyone around, that when they see you, they're either going to run from you or they're going to pair up with you. Why? Because they too have been wounded and they never let that go because of an offense. Offense come to us all. These are things that, as Jesus said, that causes a man's heart, you know, to be what? Hardened. But to have washed, but to eat with unwashed hand does not defile a man. What defiles you is you not dealing with those things that can bring harm. Those things that will hinder the power of God in your life. Not that God withholding, but you are putting yourself in a place where you can't conceive because you're wounded, you're offended, and etc. And then we begin to start affecting other people in the same way with that wounded spirit. And that's why Jesus said, let the blind lead the blind. If every plant my Heavenly Father did not plant, it'd be rooted up. So I don't have to be concerned about people who come against us. Because sooner or later, it's going to be torn up. Sooner or later, it's going to be uprooted. Why? Because it was done in the wrong way. Unless they repent and ask God for forgiveness and make things right, they will be just like smoke in the wind. Well, I hate to end our lesson like this, but I've been gone 50 minutes, and wow, my God, I've been gone longer than I intended. But it's been such an honor to be with you all this week. I missed one day this week, and I had a meeting. But anyway, it's such an honor to be with you. And I'm so grateful and so thankful that I get to spend this time with you. Now, this lesson will be uploaded on Grace Institute Online Bible School if you desire to listen to it again at the conclusion of this lesson. But we want to give you an opportunity to sow into the Favor Church. This is an opportunity that through this online Bible school, we give you the opportunity whereas you're helping us to meet the need that we have in our ministry. Make repairs, pay our bills, and whatever else that we have need of, that the ministry itself has need of. And so as we communicate unto you the things of the kingdom of God and teaching you the word of God, positioning you how to stand on these truths, then we are just looking for you to do what? To give back unto us what we have sown unto you. And the scripture that we're using is in Galatians chapter 6. And if you notice here, in verse 6, it said, let him that taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. So we're looking for you to communicate to us financially that you're being a blessing to us and say, well, I'm so grateful for the word. I'm so grateful for that anointing that helped me. It stopped me from making other mistakes. Some of you may be listening, and you may be on the verge of doing something different. You may have been having, wounded or upset because of this or because of that in a church. Well, hey, look, honey, it's happening in every church because we're all imperfect people, but we're submitting our soul to the word of God that it will no longer cause us to live a defiled life. We're going to address the hurt. We're going to address the woundedness. We're going to address the out of all. We're going to address the thing that's keeping us from walking in the victory. And we're going to get the healings because it belongs to us. We're going to get the prosperity because it belongs to us. We're going to get the joy because it belongs to us. But you have an enemy that wants to withhold all that you have a right to because you're entertaining the wrong thought life. That's what causes you and I not to receive. It's because we hadn't let go of tradition. And that's what the purpose of these classes. So if this class has helped you or any of the things we've been saying and you desire to be partner with us today to sow into the ministry, then it is Cash App, the Favor Church. And you can sow as God has purpose in your heart. And we'll be sure to use the money to do what? To continue to move forward and doing the things that we want to do. We love to build a whole new facility. We love to do different things on our grounds and et cetera. Well, it costs money, And to be honest with you, we believe to do the thing that I believe the thing that God has called us to do and whatnot. We're going to at least need about $5 million. And so, and I tell you, that's a drop in the bucket for God. You follow me? And so, we want you to understand that, hey, the kingdom of God, it suffered violence, but the violent take it by force, and we are not going to allow our tradition or our past to victimize us anymore, and I don't want you to have that either. So let me pray with you, I'll let you go. Father, we are so grateful and so thankful that the people that you have given unto this class, this online Bible school, we pray, dear God, whatever hurts, whatever wounds, whatever unforgiveness, whatever things that have hurted them and they have not dealt with it properly. Today is the day of release. Today is a day, dear God, that the kingdom of God manifests itself through your love. And Father, we thank you, and I give you praise and honor that they forgive themselves from not moving forward, and that they not hold themselves as a hostage of what they've done in the past, but to know that your blood has perfectly cleansed us, forgiven us, and dear God, we are standing up on our feet again, and we will shout, and we will not allow our past to hold us as a victim. But every time the thought will come up, or every time someone that was wounded come back by us and speak about, we say, nope, I dealt with that. I'm not dealing with that no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they'll move forward, or they too will come alone and say, I'm with you in Jesus' name. Well, we love you. We thank God for you. And that's what I always say. Until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. Love you now. We'll do it again Monday, God willing. Bye-bye, everyone.